go ahead and get started. And so tonight, how many people, I'm going to start off with a couple questions. How many people in this room know exactly what they want to be when they grow up? Come on now. You want to be happy? Well, that's very good. That's very good. However, I'm 57 years old, and I don't know if I still know what I want to be. But anyway.
I have to tell her. I'll help him out.
So, anyway. But most importantly, again, this is, I guess these are hypothetical questions, because we need to get through our little lesson tonight. But more important, does anyone know exactly what their calling in the kingdom of God is? Sometimes we have questions in our mind, right, about what am I going to be? What am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? Let alone, what am I going to be doing in the kingdom of God? Or what is my calling? Or what should I do to prepare myself for my calling? And so tonight, as we thought about, you know, Sister Sherry and I have been talking some things through about this lesson tonight. And I want you to think about, if you were an astronaut, we're just using this career field, you might say, as the launch pad, you might say. Pardon the pun. But
oh, I got it.
So if you were an astronaut, traveling to space is a journey. And we're all on a journey, right? Called life. So we're all on this journey. And, you know, that is a journey. At one time, no one ever thought it was possible. In 1969, three Americans traveled to the moon. Two of them set foot on the moon, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. But they were sent on a mission. There was a mission that they were to accomplish. And currently there are 10 people that are living and working in space on the International Space Station. It's not their permanent home. Well, how can we make that correlation? Remember, this isn't our permanent home here. We're here on this earth for a very, very short time. And so we've been sent on a mission, right? We've been sent on a mission. And so, but while these astronauts are there on the International Space Station, as I was reading today, they have different responsibilities. And their work day, actually, they have a work day up there on the International Space Station. It starts at 6 a.m. and ends at 9:30 p.m. And so what are their duties? Just like maintaining a home, they've got to clean. They got to maintain systems. They got to do maintenance. They got to do those sorts of things. They even have to incorporate 2.5 hours of exercise per day because to make sure that they maintain muscle tone while they're up there in space. Perform science experiments. Maybe one like on how microgravity affects bodies over a long period of time. So they have duties. They have things that they need to do. But it takes training. You know, there are a lot of astronauts that train all their life to go into space and they never actually make it. For whatever reason it might be. There just are a few that actually make it. But they still have to prepare, right? They still have to prepare. And so, eventually, these astronauts will return to Earth or they'll return home. We've got a never-dying soul, young people. And one of these days, when our mission is completed here on this Earth, we are going to return home and we're going to return back to God. And so, John 17 and 18 says, as thou hast sent me into the world, this is Jesus talking, even so have I also sent them into the world. Or who's Jesus talking about? His disciples. And who are we tonight? We're Jesus' disciples as well. We're followers of Christ. And so God created us for a purpose. Always keep that in the back of your mind, young people, that God created us for a purpose. We're on a mission. We're on a mission. And so as we work and as we train, As we begin this mission here on this earth, you know, we have to be prepared for wherever God sends us. And again, just like that we have, maybe thoughts, we have doubts, we have all kinds of things. We had a daughter at one time. She was about your age, maybe a little bit younger.
A little bit younger.
Okay, a little bit younger. I wouldn't say maybe at this age, but she wanted to be a dolphin trainer. Well,
we're like, well, there's no dolphins here in Newark, so not sure how that's going to work out.
Absolutely.
She's not a dolphin trainer today. That passed.
She's a child trainer. But anyway, so we were created for a purpose, young people, and that is to have a relationship with Him. And in that relationship, He will prepare us for the mission that we've been sent on. And so God has given us a commission. What is the Great Commission in the Bible? Can anybody tell me what the Great Commission is? Go ahead, Brother Ben.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is the Great Commission tonight. Go into all the world. Well, what is that? Is every one of us going to stand right here behind a pulpit and preach the Word of God? Absolutely not. But what is our commission to go into all the world, and how are we going to preach? By the life that we live. By witnessing to those that we are around. To work with those people that were within the sphere of our influence. But anyway, so a commission is a duty or a task assigned to a person or a group. So again, in that Great Commission, there are many, many divine calls. Well, what do we mean by many divine calls? Again, not everybody is going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a teacher. Not everybody is going to be a choir director, just to name two or three. But what kind of work can we do? What is there that we can do in the kingdom of God? And so that's what we're going to be talking about or exploring throughout this week, is what can we do? Again, all of us have a job to do. All of us are here to do a mission that God has sent us to do. And so, you want to take over there?
So I was thinking about, we have two new grandbabies this past year, Jace and Annabelle, and I thought about inviting them to come tonight, but they're probably getting their littles ready for camp meeting. When those babies are sent to Earth, they have unique personalities, they have unique abilities, and already it's starting to come out. You'll see Anna, she's a little bit more of a tender flower, and so she will cry very easily, and Jace, he's just more just checking everything out, and so you're starting to see this personality start to develop. And God has put within each of those children whatever it is to fulfill the call that He has for them. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes you'd love to have instructions. You'd love to be, okay, we're going to send this one down to Earth. This is what their call is. Here's all the directions. And then it gets handed to the parent. And that doesn't happen. You don't get that. Because God wants us to start talking to Him, and He's going to tell us. But I think about how that child is sent here on a mission, just like those astronauts are sent on a mission. And I think we get really attached to this Earth. We get attached to stuff. And people and places. I'll tell them myself, we have this armoire in our house that we use for the computer. Back when nobody had laptops and handheld devices, we just had a desktop. And so I put it in the living room so that I could walk by and see what everybody was doing all the time. And I saved my babysitting money for a long time, and I got a very nice armoire. And this thing is heavy duty. And so that has passed, that need has passed, and so Steve says, honey, I'm going to give that away. I started crying, and I'm not even sure why. I was very attached to that armoire. Took me a long time to save for it, and we still have it, so yeah. But we get attached to stuff.
Tears went out every time.
We get attached to people, and there's a scripture that talks about our long home. This is not our long home, but we kind of lose sight that, like, you can imagine those astronauts. I'm just going to be here forever. I'm going to be here on the moon, in the space station, wherever. I'm going to be here forever. I'm not going back home. We would say, well, that's kind of crazy. Why wouldn't you want to go home? There's your family's there. That's the whole goal. That's why you were sent, to get your mission accomplished and then come back. And so likewise, we're sent here on the earth and we have a mission. We have a call. We have something that we are sent here to accomplish, and every one of ours is a little bit different. And so it's kind of overwhelming to kind of figure that out. But I thought about that with newborn babes, different personalities, different strengths, different weaknesses, specific for that call. That's going to make them able to fulfill that call. And you can see that as you grow older. You start to see, Brother Steve and I, we kind of laugh. We talk about how that we complement each other, and we're always pulling each other back to the middle. I'm way too rigid. He's way too goofy. And so that's a good combo. And so I'm pulling him, honey, calm down. That's a little bit much. And he's like, Cher, you need to lighten up and live a little bit. And so how our weaknesses, we come together and it works together. And I feel like that's kind of made us a good team. If we were both goofy, not much would get done. If we were both rigid, you probably wouldn't like us very much. So God knows exactly what strengths to give you, what weaknesses to give you. And your weaknesses actually can be a good thing. Sometimes my heart's just a little bit too tender, but I think it helps me to have more compassion for people. And then Brother Steve, he doesn't have quite that super sensitive personality, and so he can help me. Now, Cher, come on, let's put your big girl shoes on. And so he helps me a lot with that as well. I think about how that, wrong page, back over here. So how to understand, recognize, prepare, and answer the call. It's kind of overwhelming at your age. Even at my age, sometimes it can be that way. But it's pretty awesome. Now I can look back and I can say, whoa, that's why God did that. That's why that happened in my life. That's why God stopped this here. Now I'm starting to see he was leading me, as I talked to him, as I listened, to the call. And I think Brother Steve could say the same thing. So this week we're going to have some speakers. We've got some slots here, we're getting filled up, to come and share. I think a great way to start to discern or recognize your call is to hear other people talk. How did they know God was working with them or training them or preparing them for what that they are doing now or done in the past? So there's a few things that we can be doing while we're waiting. And I had here preparation. And I think about how that a lot of you come from families that have taught you Bible stories, taken you to Sunday school. Last night we heard one talking about family devotions, and these are a blessing. These are preparing times. It's preparing you for what God's called you to do. Then I think about we get to that age of accountability. And that's when you begin to hear God's voice. You're not really sure exactly what he's saying or what that means or why your heart's thumping real hard, but you begin to have God work with you. And so we have to get saved first before we can ever understand the call, because the call is coming from God. So we got to get in relationship with God. We got to learn his voice, start to slowly learn what he likes, what he doesn't like. More than likely, he was not in that desire to be a dolphin trainer. So when that child got a little older and she began to discern the voice of God, she realized that was just a childhood dream. It wasn't God calling her to something. So we think about how that we get to know God's voice. Then we can observe the call of others. But while you're waiting, get busy. Get busy in what needs to be done. So Titus 3 and 14, and it's in the Amplified. I thought this was good. It says, our people must learn to do good deeds to meet necessary demands, whatever the occasion may require. So right now you're like, well, I don't know. Am I going to be a Sunday school teacher? Am I going to be a caretaker of the grounds? Am I going to be a preacher, a teacher? What am I going to do? Well, don't just sit there and wait for that final call. Get busy in what needs to be done. And you guys are doing such a good job. I feel like we're up here exhorting you to do something that so many of you have already begun to do. And this is something that's been brewing probably in my mind for probably 6 months. And so as I see you already starting to launch out, I'm like, yes, yes, I'm so excited. You didn't even have to hear the lesson. You've already doing it. I think about Sister Lisa came in here and talked. Sister Lisa Miller, just a few weeks ago, about taking on a responsibility here on the acres, perhaps a flower bed, perhaps a dorm room or something. And so this is what Paul was writing to Titus. He said the necessary demands. These are things, there's a lot of things that have to be done in each one of us. I know one of you is cleaning some vans, and I've heard other ones, that different things that you come here and do. So you're getting busy in the work of God. That may not be your ultimate call. And I want to stress, when we say call up here is singular, but really it's more than just singular. As I think about my life, I'm thinking, okay, God's called me to do this and this and this and this. It's not been one thing. So many times there might be a call, and you might fulfill it for a while, and then God might move you to something else as well. So while call up here on the board is singular, no doubt it might be plural. Brother Steve, you want to jump in?
Well, one thing that I thought about is that whatever that you, maybe whatever job that you might be fulfilling right now, whatever it might be, whether it's here at God's Acres, back in your home congregation, whatever you are doing currently, be faithful at it. Be faithful at it. Because, you know, that is one thing that I tell my students at school, is when you take on something, when you do something, your bosses, even though your bosses a lot of times may not tell you you're doing a good job, but they notice things. They notice things. And when it comes time for promotions, when it comes time for maybe bonuses coming out, whatever it might be, they notice things, all right? And they notice that you're doing a good job. And I think about, as Sister Sherry and I, in our younger years, she was asked to take the baby class.
1, 2, and 3 year olds.
1, 2, and 3 year olds. And Brother Decker had asked us to take the second graders, which had been 7 years old, 6, 7 years old. And we were faithful. We were here every Sunday. We were at our post of duty. We taught those little ones. She taught the 1, 2, 3 year olds for what, 19 years?
19 years.
Mm-hmm. So 19 years. I taught the second graders for quite a few years. Then, when it came time for another position to take the 11th and 12th grade class, then we were asked to move up into that particular class. But again, God wants us to be faithful in whatever that we do. He wants us to be faithful. And us being faithful, it gets noticed. It gets noticed. And so...
And sometimes you stumble a little bit. Right. You're trying to make your way. I hope we have enough time. I feel like there's just going to be stories all come out of this that we want to share. But when I was first asked to start teaching the baby class, I had been married like 5 months. We had been married like 5 or 6 months. We had no children. And I go in there, and here's this class of people that were older than me. So moms with children. I don't have children. So you can imagine how intimidating that was. And nobody taught me how to do this, so me and the Lord had to figure this out. And I remember just being very nervous, and one Sunday I was telling the story of, I think it was Jonah or Daniel the lion's den, I can't remember. And I get all done, and it was basically like, I don't even know where this came from. It was just kind of like, okay, now guys, if you don't behave, that's what's going to happen to you. And I'm like, what did I just say? Okay. Never mind. And the 1, 2, and 3 year olds would have been, and it was the 20 moms in the background that I was just melting. But you keep working at it. You know, you think, oh, Sister Sherry, you can talk well. Oh, not always. Sometimes things have come out, and I'm like, I don't even know what that was supposed to mean. But you just keep working for God, and He'll bless you. And I have to laugh. I talk about how that when I moved from the 1, 2, and 3 year olds to the 11th and 12th graders. And I'm telling you what, I love you guys to pieces, but teenagers were so intimidating back then. And I remember the first few Sundays, I told Steve, I'm going back to that baby class. And he goes, you just sit still. I said, when I go into church, the 1, 2, and 3 year olds, they smile at me and they wave and they're excited. You guys see me in church and you just stare at me. And I'm like, you know, I don't make eye contact with teenagers. I don't even know, you know, I didn't have teenagers. I didn't. And that's what the beauty of, we're probably way ahead of ourselves, but before God called us to be youth leaders, we were blessed to have teenagers. And so I learned how to make eye contact. I learned how to not be nervous. I learned how to speak to them and step up. And so that was pretty cool. But some of the things that along the way, And you might mess up. You might be super embarrassed, but you just, I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm going to come back next Sunday, even though I told him that the lion was going to eat him or the whale was going to swallow him. I'm going to come back next Sunday and we're going to try this again. And today I can laugh about it. I wasn't laughing that Sunday. I promise you. Go ahead.
So, but also I thought about as Sister Sherry and I were talking about this morning, and Brother Decker mentions this all the time, that we need to be good followers if we want to become leaders. We need to become good followers if we want to become good leaders. And so we don't want to wait for the big responsibilities. All right? Get busy in the small things. Things that we think that are small. Whether it's cleaning restrooms, whether it's, you know, emptying trash cans, whatever it might be. You know, we want to get busy in the small things. Don't sit around and wait on the big things. But again, be a good follower. Do whatever needs to be done. You know, that was one thing that I was taught very well. Look for things to do. Look for things to help. Some people are more intuitive than others. We have one daughter that just picks up on exactly what her mother needs. Maybe the other two, maybe not so much. But anyway.
I didn't do that as a kid, so I'll just say. My sister would be right there helping my mom. She could see the dishes. She could see the baby needing the diaper change. I walked past it all, oblivious, went to my room to read a book. So I kind of reaped some of that. But, yeah, so some children are just more intuitive, and but I wasn't, so I can't point fingers.
And we got another one that's coming along, though. She's getting very intuitive.
Very intuitive.
Anyway. All right.
Bless her heart. She'll be out of here in no time, and we'll have to quit telling stories about her.
Pray about every decision. Very, very important, young people. Pray about your decisions. You know, we don't want to make a wrong decision. You know, even coming down to your classes that you take in school could be preparing you for the mission that God wants you to fulfill. Should I get a job right now? And if you want to talk about that before you move on.
So when I was in the 10th grade, I decided I was going to go to the vocational school, which I'm not really sure how this all went because I was going to go to college. I think I was confused. I was going to go to college and I was going to go to vocational school and then I was going to go to college. But anyway, clearly I didn't know what I was supposed to do, and that's why it's really important to keep talking to God. But I remember the summer between my 10th grade and my 11th grade year, God strongly impressed me. I want you to go back to your major high school, my main high school, not go to vocational. So I kept praying about that. And then I've shared this so many times, but it definitely is a story that bears repeating. I was going to go to college. I had that. I had a plan. I think the vocational was because my boyfriend was a vocational and I thought it'd be cool to hang out with him. That was just like a blip on the radar. And then I'm like, never mind. I was going to college. You distracted me.
I was just a blip on the radar?
You were. We got it figured out though. We're okay. We're all good now.
Now I'm her whole world.
Okay. All right.
So, he is the radar.
He's the radar? So I graduated from high school, and I wanted to be a nurse. I was sure. I'd done a nursing project in sixth grade, and I was just sure that that was what I was supposed to be. And I had several thousand dollars in scholarships lined up. I had my school lined up. I had my paperwork submitted to go to this college. But I kept praying about it. And one day that summer, probably maybe June or so, I got my answer, and it was not the answer I wanted. I got an answer from God, and God said no. And it was one of those days, probably only maybe twice in my life, have I been praying so earnestly, it felt like an audible voice in the room. I know God don't speak in audible voices, but sometimes it can feel like that when you need a really strong answer. And I always say, I'm not up here saying college is wrong for you, but college was wrong for me. And that dream died very slow and very hard. Because that was my dream for a long time. I understand now. It took me a long time to understand. I wanted to go and learn. I wanted to go and study. And I wanted to go and be able to teach. That has nothing to do with nursing. It has to do with teaching. Once I became a youth leader, we became youth leaders, and God began to show us our call. I began to realize what that was. It wasn't a desire for college. God had placed in me a desire for the things that I was going to need. It was tools to work in here with you guys. But if I hadn't listened to God, I would have went to a four-year college. Brother Steve said he's pretty sure our relationship may not have made it. During that time, my dad would have died. My mom desperately, I thought about this the other day, and it was just, it's awesome when God kind of starts to show you the why. You know, my dad's been dead since 1987, so it's been a long time. But God, it was like God said to me, not only did I not want you in college because your mom needed you, I didn't want you in college because your mom needed you to be married to Steve. Steve stepped up. He taught my siblings how to drive. Whatever was broke at my mom's house, he fixed it till Brother Cummings came along. He was like the handyman. And I was like, I could not comprehend that in the moment when I was so sure, but I kept checking with God. And now God's making it more and more plain to me. Here's the reason. Pray about everything. We may not even be together today if I had held out for my will in that decision.
So again, it's really, really important, young people, even choosing your classes in high school, choosing your classes in college, and whether you should get a job right now. You know, I know that you want to, at this particular point in your life, you want to gain some independence, and having a job kind of does that somewhat. You can get a car, you can do all those sorts of things. But pray about it. Make it a serious matter of prayer as to whether you get a job or not. How about buying a car? Pray about buying a car. How expensive should it be? Why, you know, should I go way in deep in debt in order to buy a vehicle? Should I date this particular person or should I not date this particular person? And these decisions, young people, will help or hinder your call. You know, I thought about a particular person, and this was a young person long, long time ago. And when we talk about, you know, as dating, you know, this person had a burden to go into the mission field. And for whatever reason, he chose, when he chose to marry this particular person, that, what do you want to say, that burden. Call or that burden to the mission field never materialized. Now, I'm not saying it was that particular person that he married, but it could have affected his, what do you want to say, that call that he had to go to the mission field. So it's really, really important that when we make all of these decisions, will it affect our call? Will it affect the mission that God has sent us here for? Get counsel. When you consider your call, consider your mission here, get some counsel from some spiritual leaders. You know, Samuel did not understand God's voice or understand that it was God talking to him until he had Eli explain that that's the Lord talking to you. And when he calls you again, say, Lord, here am I. Build your knowledge while you're waiting. While you are getting ready for the call or for whatever God calls you to do for your mission, make sure you're in Sunday school. Make sure you're in Bible study. Make sure you're in youth meetings. You know, spend time in your personal Bible study. Take notes in church. I still take notes. If you see me up there, I'm taking notes in church. And helps me remember a little bit better. But also, 1 Timothy 2 and 4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? And so that's where we come to the knowledge of the truth, is to be in the Word of God. Be in church and do. And so what good are abilities and talents without understanding how to use them?
It'd be kind of like if you handed me one of your tools out of the garage, probably about any of them except for a hammer. I wouldn't have a clue what to do with them. You need knowledge, and God has given you some fantastic tools, some Sawzalls and some, I don't know, what's some good tools, Brother Steve?
Circular saws, Sawzalls, hammer drills.
So he's given you some spiritual tools that can do some awesome things. But you got to learn how to use them. I think about some of you were talking about canvassing and you were having some really good answers to some of the questions that were presented to you. How'd you know that? I'm thinking, oh, there was a Bible study on that topic. I wonder if that helped him. We talked about that in young people's. Wonder if that helped him. You were building your knowledge so that you knew how to use that tool.
And then a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I was, when I was in the hospital after I had my stroke, and of course I was at OSU, so you never knew, there was a lot of people learning, so you never knew who was coming into your room at any particular time. It might have been some students that were going through the nursing program, or some that were maybe doctors working on their residency. But there was a young man that came in, and it seemed like it was about 5 o'clock every morning that they did this. They came in to do a blood draw, and this young man came in. He says, "Hi, my name is so-and-so." And he says, "I'm actually studying to get my EMT license and all this sort of thing, so I'm working with the lab today." And he says, "I'm going to go ahead and draw your blood." And he says, "I've seen this done on TV once." He says, "I think I can do this." Of course, he was just making a joke.
And he was excellent.
And he was excellent. Probably the slickest blood draw I've ever had. But anyway, didn't even feel it. However,
but we can't
again,
go into our call.
I've
seen
right.
this done on TV once. I've seen so-and-so do that. I think I know what I'm doing. This is dangerous.
Absolutely.
A little knowledge can be dangerous. So we got to definitely work on building that knowledge.
Good.
I think about we have different gifts. Romans 12 and 6 says, having then gifts differing, that means different talents, different abilities, different skills. It's according to what God has given you to do. It reminds me of, my kids talked about they had instrument fittings when they went into middle school. So the band director, I don't know if you guys still do it. I don't know if that's what you call it. Is that what you call it? Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. And they would come in there. Here's a trumpet. Here's whatever instruments would be in there. And they have you try them. And I can imagine, I never went to an instrument fitting, but I could imagine a student picking up a trumpet and going, "Sherry, this is for you because it needs lots of lungs." And so clearly, some people are more adapted for some instruments. Is that right? You could see some kids did well on some and not others. And so there's going to be certain calls that some of us are going to be better adapted for. And God knows that. He's equipped you for that. I'm not really sure why he gave me such a big mouth. But hopefully, maybe it's to help. Maybe we're going to have lots of times there's no microphones. I'm not sure. I think about when I take the recording home and I work on it to put it on the web, especially when we've had several speakers and you know how you have the sound waves. And so here's all you guys talking and then I'll see this and I'll be, that's where I started. Okay. I'm not really sure. But for some reason, that's one of my gifts. Maybe you don't think that if you stand in front of me in the choir. So I'm trying to have mercy on that. That's Sister Victoria. So we're usually okay. But how God gives each one of us the gifts specific for, and Brother Steve and I'll talk about like our Bible study techniques. I love information. I'll just go through pages and pages and pages because I'm a speed reader. Brother Steve thinks you should read every word. He wants to know the shade of the color of green of the grass that the man walked on. I'm like, who cares? Move on. That paragraph's boring. Move on. I said, that way I can read a book 5 and 6 and 7 times, and it's like a new thing every time. It's like, it's so exciting. He said, once I've read it, I don't need to read it again. Oh, yes. But we have different approaches, and I see that sometimes in our approaches to you youth. I'm all about just lots of information, and if that's boring, move to the next paragraph. And then he's coming behind me like, whoa, that's a really good thought. You might want to slow down. So how God adapts us for that special, but like an instrument fitting, we don't know right now at this age what we're going to be good at. So you're going to have to try a lot of things. Come to work day, get out in the flower beds. You're like, whoa, I do not like this. Okay, that instrument didn't work. That call didn't work. Why don't you go over here and let's maybe help in another area. Get busy. There's all kinds. If you like to do computer work, there's things to do computer. If you like to work on the grounds, if you like to mow. I hear some of you really like to weed whip. So you're kind of in your element there. So you begin to try different areas. There'll be another, somewhere down the road, there'll be a need for another caretaker. I think when Brother Dave and Sister Ruby realized that they were going to have to step off, that it was their time, it was becoming too much for them, and how God had another couple, and it was not us. If I was in charge of the grounds, I'm sorry. I don't know what it would look like. It's just not my strength. I only clean because I have to. I always say I keep my house to a dull roar, which is kind of, it's not too bad. And my cooking is not the best, I don't think. I always tell my kids, but did you die? Okay, you did it. You're fine. Those aren't my strengths. So I'm not in charge of the dining hall. I'm not in charge of the grounds. That wasn't my strength. But God gave us the youth group. Now I have to say, when we were given the youth group, when we were asked to take over the youth group, Brother Decker asked us, we're like, no.
Absolutely.
No, I'm sure that's not what God's called us to do. Nope. But you know what we did? We didn't put a period. We put a comma. But we'll pray. And so it would be, no. Well, And 5 months later, Sister Jackson got up and sang, "My house is full, but my fields are empty." And Steve looked at me and I looked at him and I'm like, this is what we're supposed to do. Now, the first year, we were very nervous. Most of you weren't here.
We have great helpers.
We do. Absolutely. Have smoothed the way, 100%. But that first year, we had tornado warnings one night. We had to take, does anybody remember that? We had to take you into the storage room. We're like, oh, we've never seen this before, Sister Sherry. I'm like, okay, yeah. Then we had like this flash flood. We're down in the, over the hill. We're running up the hill. Water's like halfway up our, like to our knees or our calves going uphill. I'm not really sure how that worked out. Maybe I misremembered, but that's how I remembered it. The water comes downhill. Is that what happened? So we're like, what are we doing for these kids? You know, I thought it was like trial by fire. But I remember one day thinking, it's like two puzzle pieces and it's done this. And I thought, oh, now I understand why when I was teaching the baby class at ages 1, 2, and 3, and I began to think I'd lost my burden for that class. And I thought, what's wrong with me? Why do I not feel burdened to teach Sunday school anymore? Maybe I need to go pray, or you know, maybe something spiritually is wrong. And so I prayed about it, and I went to Sunday school superintendent, and they said, we want you and your husband to teach the 11th and 12th grade class. I'm like, wow, that's okay. That's really different from 1, 2, and 3, 5 minute lessons and a couple songs, play with toys, you know, to teenagers. You teenagers were very overwhelmed. Not you, because none of you were there, but. But 4 years later, God was going to call us to be youth leaders. God gave us 4 years to work with teenagers. And you can look back and you can go, oh, thank you, Lord. You knew how much we needed that. You knew that we were going to break us in slowly and help us to prepare. So you're just being obedient. You're just praying. You're just trusting God to lead you every step of the way. And he will. Now, when you get over here on this side, you can start to see that's why he did this. That's why he did that. He was helping me learn how to use those tools. He was preparing me. And so we're hoping this week, as we begin to have speakers come in and tell you about how they received their call or how they recognized it or some of the stories along the way, I'm hoping that'll help you, because a lot of your call may not become apparent for a while. Maybe like when God said no to college, I never got, but this is what you're going to do, Sherry. It was just no. And that was really hard. So I thought, okay, well, I guess I will marry him because, I mean, he's pretty awesome. And that worked out pretty well. And so we moved on and had children and raised children. And
I was second prize.
Not really. After God, he's the best thing that ever happened to me. So, but now I can see. I just got busy doing what God had told us to do. And today, the understanding is starting to come, what he was preparing us for. Do you have anything to add?
Don't think so.
We're still good, right?
We're still good.
Okay.
All right, Sister Bree.